John Carney on KTRS.
Big 550 KTRS, Carney Show, welcome back. Sad to lose a legend, Mr. B.B. King, passing away last week, 89 years old. Dan Dirkholtz, former regular on the broadcast, and as I mentioned, found that there was a lot more money in writing books. So he did, like Long May You Run, the biography of Neil Young, now in its 25th printing and recently out in Klingon. He returns to the broadcast. Danny, me boy, how are you?
I'm great, John. Great to talk to you again.
Dazzling Danny D back on the airwaves. I'm getting a little weepy.
Me too.
All right, well, let's look at the upside. Had B.B. King died right after your last review of his last concert in town, you probably would have felt pretty bad about it.
Well, I mean, I feel bad about it regardless, and I think I have witnesses that can... you know, affirm that I had nothing to do with it, even though, strangely, and for reasons that I don't understand, people might feel otherwise about that.
No, and you know what? You took a lot of heat, and for people that don't remember, you just called it like it was, a show at the Peabody, where it was a lot of him just sitting in the chair and talking and babbling, and that's not why people come down to a concert. And you really got dragged through the mud by several people going, how could you say that about a legend? It's like, well, because that's what happened.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just part of the gig. I accept that as just part of my job, that, you know, I get to state my opinions, which is a great privilege, and hopefully have good reasons for doing so, which I try to state in the articles. And then other people can respond to that, and certainly do in the comments section or, you know, in late night phone calls or however, you know, they choose to respond, although I'd prefer it not be that. But, you know, if I one of the things, and certainly regarding our discussion now about B.B. King, if people know anything about the blues, it's about telling hard truths, you know, and I think I wrote about that show with, you know, as honestly as I could. And certainly, you know, the truth as I saw it, and also as respectfully as I thought a legendary performer like B.B. King deserved. So that review is still online. If people want to go look it up on STLtoday.com, it's still there. And, you know, maybe people will see it in a new light at this point. But, you know, who's to say?
And, you know, I'm sure it's not the first time you saw him. I'm not even a music critic, and I probably had a dozen B.B. King shows under my belt. He used to appear regularly here in what was billed as the Cool Jazz Fest, and he brought in some great artists. It was the first time I had ever heard of or seen Kenny Wade and Shepherd about 20 years ago. And this was a frequent stop for him. And if I'm not mistaken, he would play at some little auditoriums on Martin Luther King. And this was a regular haunt for him, wasn't it?
Everywhere was a regular haunt for him. I've always said that if you never saw B.B. King, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Because probably from the 50s on, he played upwards of, let's say, 200, 250, probably upwards of 300 one-nighters a year. Just an amazing road warrior, and that's just what he loved to do. And he did it so well for so long. But, yeah, he played everywhere and for decades.
Let's talk a little background. Let's talk a little history. The Delta Blues guys, there's a few of them that we hold up that are in the general collective consciousness. But there were so many players. How was he one of the few to get out and be elevated to that status?
Well, there were several things that really separated him from the pack. And by the way, to answer your caller, of course, B.B. stood for Blues Boy, which was a nickname that he took when he started to gain some fame on the Memphis scene, which is kind of where he was based out of. If you think about some of the other performers of the era, they all had nicknames too. McKinley Morganfield was Muddy Waters. Chester Burnett was Howlin' Wolf. So B.B. King, Riley King, took that name, Blues Boy, as his nickname. And some of the things that separated him were this sort of urbane style that he had. I mean, before that, the blues, there was country blues. When you think of people like Robert Johnson and Charlie Patton a long time ago doing an acoustic thing, or then like the guys I mentioned, Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters doing a more electric thing that was kind of like for a really rowdy kind of juke joint audience. B.B. King kind of took the blues uptown a little bit. He was influenced by not just the great guitar player T-Bone Walker, but also people like Count Basie. So, you know, B.B. King, if you've ever seen him, you know, he's got horns in the band and stuff. So it's a more, it's a smoother, more sophisticated style that people really dug, but still very connected to the blues. I mean, his incredible guitar playing, that he just hits one note and he uses that incredible vibrato that he just, you know, makes with his fingers, and you instantly know that that's B.B. King. So he had this style that, you know, is very much like crying and moaning, which very well fit with the blues and, you know, influenced so many players, not just blues players, but, of course, rock and roll players as well.
And a recent passing of Albert King, who's left of the old guard?
Well, Albert King died a long time ago. He died in, like, the 90s.
Well, then who's the one that...
Are you thinking of Benny King?
Benny King. I knew he was a king, some kind of king.
Well, not really a blues guy, but B.B. King was kind of the last of that generation, at least of the very, you know, highly famed performers. There's still guys who are connected to that, certainly Buddy Guy, but who is a younger performer than B.B. King was. But if... You know, and I said this a long time ago, probably not in relation to BB, but, you know, these guys, if there's anybody in your vicinity, go see them because, you know, that time is passing. And so far as I can tell, now of course, BB, you know, towards the end, as I well found out, you know, that show was maybe not up to par. But if you go to it with the attitude that, I'm just going to go see a legend, and I'll take what I get. He's 89 years old. You know, that's fine. Then you pay your money, and you know what you're getting for that. So far as I know, the last time I saw Buddy Guy, he is still really on point. I know he's playing this Roots and Blues Festival in Columbia that's coming up, I believe, in September. And, you know, maybe he'll wind up in St. Louis at some point right around then as well. But, I mean, that would be a guy that I would recommend go see him yet before it's too late.
And you could still catch him fairly regularly at his own club, Legends in Chicago.
I believe that's true, yeah.
So we wanted to play some B.B. King over the weekend, and I pulled him up on my iPod, and for some reason the only B.B. King I have are a couple of tracks off Riding with the King, which I think was the name of the album.
Yeah, right, that he did with Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton. Talk about that project, and I just love it. How did they come together, and what do you know of that recording?
Well, I mean, Clapton is such a student of the blues that it was only natural that he latch on to guys like B.B. King, and Buddy Guy is certainly another major influence of Clapton. And I always love it when younger performers, you know, they go back and they pay that debt. Bonnie Raitt is another person that always goes back and finds the people that were important to her. Like, she took Charles Brown on the road when he was very late in his life. And, you know, and they, because that's what music is really about. It's about passing it down through the generation. Certainly the blues is about that. And Clapton, what a wonderful thing that he did, because, I mean, that was a huge hit album for B.B. King, who, you know, I mean, he sold a lot of records over the years, obviously, and his name is out there. He's got that string of nightclubs and so forth. So, you know, he's obviously got it, you know, got everything he needs. But having that recognition from younger players, that's very important, I think, to a guy, or it was important to a guy like B.B. King. And that's a John Hiatt song, by the way, Riding with the King. And and they did a great job of that. If you want some more stuff on your iPod, let me recommend a couple of things.
That's what I was going to ask you. You're reading my mind.
Okay. Well, you know, we worked together for a long time, so I know where you're going with stuff. But there's a big box set called King of the Blues that's certainly worthwhile. That tells the whole story. But if you just want to kind of jump in at a couple of points, there's two live albums. One is called Live at the Regal, which is just fantastic. I mean, it's not just one of the best B.B. King albums. It's one of the best live albums of all time in 1965. And then there is another one from 1971 called Live in Cook County Jail that is also really terrific. And that actually has The Thrill Is Gone on it because that record had come out by then and was a big hit for him in the late 60s. So those are two things. And then that box set is really terrific as well.
Hot tips from Dazzle and Danny D, Dan Dirkholtz, and Long May You Run, the Neil Young biography out there. Anything else we can get our hands on that you've penned?
Rock and Roll Myths, which you know, plumbs the depths of some of the silly stories that have been told over the years. Now available in Polish, and that is not a joke.
All right. Well, why don't you come on, and we'll talk about that next time.
Well, we've talked about that before. It's been out for a couple of years.
Yeah, but I've had three jobs since then. All right, brother. Thank you much. Good to talk to you, as always.
Good to talk to you again.
All right. Dan Dirkholtz, and For My Money, one of the best music critics around. It's the Carney Show for Monday. Stick around.